You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
The descriptor hijacked buildings is something uniquely Johannesburg, and my next guest writes that it is one of the most insidious and murky issues that face those who own or manage property and the enormously negative effect that it has on surrounding neighbourhoods. Angela Rivers, the Johannesburg Property Owners and Managers Association General Manager, is with me now. And firstly then, how widespread is this particular issue? How has it evolved over the years?
So currently, at my estimation, there's about 200 or so hijacked buildings in the inner city. Every year, that number either goes up or down. It's kind of a, depending on the social situation within the economy and all that kind of stuff. What we have seen, I've heard a lot of talk about housing hijackings outside of the inner city, but obviously my expertise is specifically the inner city and the CBD. But I mean, if you look at the whole picture of the inner city, there's about 2,000 buildings in the inner city with 200 hijacked. It's only a 10% problem. So I personally think it's something that can be resolved. I've been in the inner city for 20 years and I've seen the different stages and different types of hijackings that happen depending on different circumstances, economics, cultures, different types of crime and, you know, all those kind of different factors.
Could you explain the process by which a building typically gets hijacked, the common tactics, in other words, used by the syndicates?
So there's three types of building hijackings. The first is where you have a situation where the tenants decide to stop paying rent, either through circumstance or a tenant community or a little tenant group will form. They will decide as a group they're not going to pay, and the tenants kind of hijack the building. That's really an economic situation. We see that when a lot of the tenants have lost their jobs, they're not getting these government subsidies anymore. So it's really a circumstantial situation. The second that we see is buildings that are privately owned but not well managed. The landlord is not present. The building manager isn't well educated or trained on how to manage a building. The building starts to deteriorate and it becomes an easy target. But the most insidious one that we see is syndicates actually moving into the building. They intimidate the tenants. Force them to stop paying the owners and say that they are either the new owners or the new managing agents. The building is now theirs, and they then start collecting the rentals and keep pocketing the money. Those are really quite violent. The tenants are under a lot of threat. And because there's such a huge need for housing, it's very easy for the hijacker to just kick someone out and replace them immediately.
Specifically, what do you mean by poor management of buildings?
So what we've seen over the years is you'll have slumlords who all they care about is collecting the rent. So they won't maintain the lifts, they won't paint the buildings, they won't have the buildings cleaned regularly. You know, our JAP Homer members have been landlords for up to 20 years, and we have a very strict code of conduct that our landlords have to adhere to in order to be members. So things like a well-trained building manager who can interact with tenants if they have problems with their bills, they can discuss it with them. If they have problems with the security system, there's a place where they can go and communicate with the landlord or the building manager. It's very difficult. You have good tenants and you have bad tenants. Good, well-paying tenants want to live in a safe environment. They want the security system to work. They want the lifts to work. They want to be able to know that their kids can run around, be safe within the building. So anytime that you let any of that kind of management fall to the wayside, you're going to have disgruntled tenants. You're going to have an opportunity where a hijacker will drive past the building, see from the outside it hasn't been well looked after, it hasn't been maintained, the paint is falling off the buildings, the windows are broken, and they think, well, no one's looking after that building, it's going to be easy for me to just go in there and take over.
Why do you think law enforcement and the cities, and I believe it's called the Problem Buildings Task Team, are struggling to address this issue effectively?
So, I mean, their argument to it is that it's very dangerous to go into these buildings. And yes, it is. I mean, you have a building like Casimir, which is a government-owned building, which was set up as temporary emergency kind of social housing, which has been hijacked. And everyone is terrified to go into that building. We've had several security guards shot chasing people into the building who have done smash and grabs or cell phone thefts. So these buildings, not all of them, but the majority of them are hideouts for criminals. It is quite dangerous to go in there. But, you know, if you, I can understand why City Power would be apprehensive to go into a building, or Joburg Water to go into a building to disconnect water or to do an audit on meters. But they should have the backup of SAPS and JMPD to access these buildings, at least to assess how dangerous these buildings are, because they are dangerous. If you have a building that has no water supply, you're going to end up with a fire. If you have a building that has bad electrical connections, that's just fodder for a fire. But they should be stronger. They should be more of a, they should be working together. I think that's the main thing. They should be working together. You cannot tackle a hijacked building with one department alone. It has to have the buy-in from every single department, from Home Affairs, SAPS, JMPD, City Power, Joburg Water, Social Development, Economic Development. They need to work together as a team and go in as a united force.
So you said to me that 200 out of 2,000 buildings, it is a problem that can be resolved. You've said that it's a multifaceted play as far as different agencies are concerned. How then do you harness that to make sure that there is a quick fix?
So I'll give you an actual example. Last year, November, we have a building called Remington House. Remington House was hijacked for 20 years. It was an absolute slum. Over the last 20 years, it's had about five or six different hijackers take control of the building. No water, no electricity. Sewage literally pouring down the steps. The owner worked together with the City of Johannesburg. They went to court. They got an eviction order. City of Johannesburg was actually on the court papers to help with the eviction. They helped with the building inspections. They went in, they did an audit of everyone that was living in the building. It was a but it took a lot of work from the private sector to bring the city into the party. Once we got the eviction in November, the building was emptied. A lot of those residents chose to move on to other buildings. Some took up the temporary emergency accommodation, which is horrific. It's tents in a field. It's not accommodation at all. But however, this year, November, almost a year later, 168 residential units will be going onto the market. That building has been turned around in a year. And any hijacked building where the city council and the private sector are working together with the common goal of providing housing, it can be done in a year.
Angela Rivers, I'm going to leave it there. The Johannesburg Property Owners and Managers Association General Manager, appreciate your time today.